Hey, this is Ryan Wilcox.
And this is John Holiday.
And welcome to Sports 360. We are so glad that you're listening in right now. It's been a while since we've gotten together and collaborated on a podcast here.
Yeah, it's been a couple months at least.
Too long.
Yeah.
Too long to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
If you just known the backstory of how John and I have finally been able to sit here, it feels good, John, doesn't it?
It feels good to be back.
Jeez. Well, you probably remember us from crushing it, but we put that monster to bed.
We moved on.
Yes. Okay. Risk Captain Pache.
Yeah.
But we're now here. Turn
into a new leaf.
The Valley Forge Sports Podcast is Sports 360, and we're excited to just give you good content all year long.
New setup, new name, new us.
That's right.
Yeah.
I changed a leaf.
Yeah.
Instead of a maple tree, I'm now a pine tree.
Yeah.
Literally, a new leaf.
Yeah.
But, John?
It's a problem.
I have too many leaves. That's the thing.
It's an issue.
Stupid squirrels. But anyways, John, let's get us started here. What should we talk about?
I'm thinking we should talk about postseason baseball.
Woo! Feels good. I think your team clinched the other day, right?
Yeah, I think we're the the NL Central champions two times in a row, back-to-back.
Back-to-back. Oh, my gosh.
Interesting statistic. We're the first team to do this since the 2012 Cardinals when they won the World Series. So, and it felt good.
Congratulations.
My dad and I were listening to the game, and I was like, you know, it kind of sucks. They're not in Chicago. And I was like, but on the other hand, we're in St. Louis. It's like even the better place to do it, you know, just rub it in their faces.
Rub it in the rival's face.
Yeah.
Well, my Rockies, you know, no bias here. They won yesterday in a total Coors Field fashion kind of game.
Coors.
15-9.
280 characters.
That Twitter, what did you do?
Yeah.
You created a monster.
Yeah.
Well, you already did.
Well,
but
yeah.
Now it's worse.
Free reign.
That's right. So the Rockies, magic number is two games. They don't play tonight, but they play Friday to close out the season series at home against the Dodgers.
Ooh.
And we just swept the Dodgers last week, four games at their place.
Yeah.
Which we hadn't done since 1993, the first year we were as a team.
Mm.
And the Dodgers sucked then.
Yeah, they were kind of on a downward spiral, but now they were the first team to get to 100 wins.
But we made it the longest team to get to 100 wins for them.
Right.
Oh, my goodness.
Speaking of which, Cleveland just got 100 wins as of today. So.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Well, good for them.
Yeah, well.
It's the only thing they've got going for them over there.
Right.
Well, the Cavs, but
yeah,
we'll talk about them later.
Yeah,
we'll hold that. So, as it shapes up for right now, the Twins also clinched yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So the American League format is going to look like this for the playoffs. The first game is going to be the wild card game against the number 5 ranked Twins versus the number 4 ranked Yankees. Wow. Two teams. The Twins had 102 losses last year.
Mm-hmm.
And now they've berthed for the playoffs.
Yeah. Quite a turnaround for them.
Yeah, and then the Yankees have got Aaron Judge and company.
Who just, you know, hot take starting now.
Oh, okay.
Definitely rookie MVP or, you know, rookie of the year. He passed Mark McGwire.
Sure.
51, I think he's at, or maybe just 50.
50.
50, okay.
Mark McGwire had 50 home runs.
So, personally, that should be an easy series. I'm going to 4-2.
4-2?
4-2,
What do you mean?
Yankees 4, Twins 2.
I'm going to surprise you here, John, okay? The wild card is a one-game playoff.
You know what? I was looking at the ADLS, and, you know, I...
That's okay. That's okay.
Yeah.
So, in a one-game playoff
4-2
match,
the score. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Yeah. 4-2 the score. The Yankees win?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll buy that.
Yankees hit hot early in innings, and they stay hot the rest of the series. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, then the winner of the wild card, which I guess is going to be the Yankees, is going to play up against the Cleveland Indians for one of, so the ALDS is going to be that game. And then the other game of the ALDS is going to be the Red Sox, third ranked, versus the number two Astros.
Okay.
So I don't want to get into predictions there yet. We need to figure out who the wild card's going to be first.
Yeah.
But if you had a feeling of who was going to win against the Red Sox or Astros, who would you go with?
You know, that's a tough call. Astros got...
And you have to remember, the ALDS is a best of five.
Okay.
So...
That's a tough one. I'm going with the Astros. They got Jose Altuve. He's in the AL MVP race.
You cannot deny Altuve,
yeah,
that's for sure.
Can't deny.
And they have Corey Kluber. Sorry, forgive me. Oh, man, his name escapes me. But they have a really good pitcher. Oh, Keuchel, Dallas Keuchel.
Yeah.
He's nasty.
It's going to be a tough matchup because the Red Sox have Chris Sale, and he's a hot pitcher.
He is, which in his last outing, he struck out eight, but here's the deal. He gave up four home runs in that game.
You got to find that balance between the offense and the defense there. And
the best part is that Chris Sale had a chance to break the year Pedro Martinez was hands down across the board the best pitcher the majors had ever seen in 1999.
Mm-hmm.
And he had 312 strikeouts that year.
Right.
312. It's crazy. And so Chris Sale was at 300, struck out eight,
mm-hmm.
but then gave up four home runs.
Yeah.
So I know he was looking to try to at least tie or beat that record.
Yeah.
And he didn't make it. But no. It was funny to watch the interviews with Pedro Martinez because he was like, hey, if he could beat me, he could beat me. But we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
He's like, nah, it won't happen. Yeah.
And, you know, he's got that nasty slider, but when you can locate it,
right.
It's sick.
Mm-hmm.
But in that game against those four batters, he just were moonshots over the green monster.
Yeah.
So if Dallas, I'm sorry, not Dallas, but if Houston can get on track with that, I don't know if the Red Sox will have a chance because they've been hot all year long.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on to the National League. Well, where both of our favorite teams play. We'll have the National League wild card as it shapes up today with a 94% chance, thanks to 538.com. The Rockies have a chance, 94% chance, of locking in the wild card. So if the Brewers or Cardinals lose again today, the Rockies' magic number goes down from 2 to 1, and then all the Rockies have to do is beat one game out of the Dodgers' hands. Or the other two teams lose one more game, and then the Rockies are in.
So
as it looks like right now, it's going to be the National League wild card. It's going to be the number five Rockies versus the number four D-backs at Arizona in Chase Field, one of the worst places to play in all of baseball.
Yeah.
So I can't. If you ask me who's going to take that game, I'm going to say the Rockies because I just...
Well, of course.
They're going to start John Gray. And John Gray, this last outing against Miami, went 6 innings, 8 strikeouts, and struck out Giancarlo Stanton 3 times in a row.
And that's the
And then they sat him down. That's going to be the home run king this year.
Yeah.
And they sat him down, and he was just ticked. He was in his hoodie, had it up, and I was like, way to go.
Why can't I hit on this guy? You know?
I know, but he did give up a 2-run homer.
Yeah.
So, but the Rockies ended up winning that game 15-9.
So,
but John Gray, his last 4 starts, he's 3-0. One of them was an undecided. And his ERA has been under 2.
Wow.
So I'm really interested to see them go up against Zach Greinke.
That would be an interesting matchup.
He's really good.
Yeah.
And they're at home, and they have a hot tub. I can't look at it evenly.
You got Paul Goldschmidt, you know.
Right, and you have Nolan Arenado, which we're going to talk about in a little bit, about the MVP race. But, John, I'm going to let you choose who wins this one.
You know.
Who are you feeling? Because obviously I can't do it with the level head.
Yeah, I'm in Rockies company
right now. And we've played
right
30 games against the D-backs.
Yeah.
it's evened out. It's like no team really has an edge over each other.
Right. Another tough call, just like the Red Sox and the Astros. I mean, you got two MVPs, potential MVP, you know, runners
right,
in that race,
right.
Going against each other. Greinke has, I don't know. It's a tough call. I'm going Rocks. Let's go, Coors.
You are okay.
Yeah. You have a really, really solid pitching lineup. You got a great third baseman. I think a lot of hits can be made.
Yeah.
So
I think
I think that edge is going to be what is going to save your team, and probably will push you further into the postseason. So
I know we were talking about it earlier about clinching, but I've not seen a champagne celebration since I was a sophomore in high school.
Yeah, and I saw one last night.
That makes me really excited.
Yeah,
because all these cousins are like, "Oh yeah, our team is the best, and like we've always been good."
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Who is your first baseman before Rizzo?" You know what? I won't even bring it up. But I'm just so excited. I feel it. It's been a long time since our team has won something for real. And just besides a batting title, but that happens to us every year. Coors. Anyways, I'm so excited. Okay. So then the other game for the NLDS will be the Rockies versus the Dodgers, which that will be interesting since the Rockies swept them 4 games at home. And then they're going to play them tomorrow for a 3-game set. So we'll see how that goes.
That would be the upset of the year right there.
Yeah.
You have the first team in the MLB to reach 100 wins and you get, you know, beat by the Rockies.
Yeah. That would be super cool. So, but for the other game of the NLDS will be the Chicago Cubs ranked 3rd versus the Washington Nationals. How do you feel about that? I know you're a little biased here. But
a little biased, yeah.
We're in bear country. I mean, Cubs country.
You know, yeah. Bryce Harper in the Nationals.
He was hurt.
You know.
It's probably going to take a little time to acclimate.
May not come
back a superstar
to full form during this important game.
Fingers crossed.
Again, it does depend on who we have pitching. We had Lackey pitching yesterday. He's 12-11, which isn't super great, but, you know, more wins than losses. I'll take that.
Yep.
CJ Edwards is usually good at closing. We also have Wade Davis.
Wade Davis. The other superstar from that 2015 Kansas City Royals championship.
Closed out yesterday. I think if we can get John Lester pitching, and he gets hot, doesn't throw to first, you know.
Ooh.
Yeah, we're, you know, hot take.
Major key.
Yeah. if we're good there, I think we should be fine. Again, I think they're at 94, 95 wins.
Yeah.
So they're doing a little better than us, but
they spanked the Cardinals, that's for sure.
We're still in this race, so yeah.
Yeah.
Anyone who beats the Cardinals is good with me. So.
Okay, you said it.
Moving on to the MVP race.
So here we go.
It's been
narrowed down to two people on both sides. You've got on the NL, you've got Paul Goldschmidt, first baseman of the Arizona Diamondbacks, and then you've got Nolan Arenado, third baseman, and daily highlight reel third baseman Nolan Arenado for the Colorado Rockies. So here's the stats for both of them. Paul Goldschmidt has 36 home runs. Nolan Arenado has 35 home runs. Paul Goldschmidt has 120 RBIs. Nolan Arenado has 126 RBIs.
Okay.
Paul Goldschmidt with runners in scoring position is .374 average. Nolan Arenado has a .388 average for runners in scoring position.
Okay.
And then Paul Goldschmidt has 18 stolen bases, and I do not have that stat for Nolan Arenado. So probably zero. I'm just kidding. I don't know. But it looked so the only category that Paulie's beating Nolan in is in home runs, and that's by one.
Okay.
And you could say that the home away splits could be the downfall of Nolan Arenado, and that's not the case this year. That's the case for Charlie Blackmon, who was in the race, but I don't think is going to – he might get one vote, but his home splits against his away splits are considerable, and that's when you go Coors.
Yeah.
But with Nolan Arenado, for a long time this year, his away splits were better than his home averages.
Yeah.
And so I just think to have that Coors monster always leering over any MVP candidate, you can win batting titles, sure, because that's numbers, but to objectively go, hey, I'm better than you are at your home field and when you're away is significant.
That definitely speaks to the volume.
And it's not that he's got more home runs at Coors than he does away. For most of the season, he had more home runs away than he did at Coors. So I know I've seen those splits all year long, but it's Nolan's got more runs batted in. He's got a better clutch rating than Paulie does.
And what those stats tell me, he's more of a team player. He's more likely to get people on base. He's going to get guys in for more points.
Yeah, and it's not only just his average, his batting average. It's his plays at third base all year long that makes him so deserving. Not even just this year, but for the past 3 years. When you're playing first base, it's hard to say that it's an important position because you're the one who's catching everybody out at first.
Right.
But at third base, you have more batters that pull that way along third baseline that make it so hard to nab those balls and get them out. Nolan, once, twice, three times a week, makes these crazy diving catches of balls that have an exit velocity over 115 miles per hour, gets up, and then will nail them out at first base.
Yeah.
And this year, it's just been crazy.
It's definitely a more athletic position than, you know, other ones. I mean, you have guys in left, center, and right field dive.
I'm glad you said that. But it's a more athletic position. Nothing against Paulie, but at first base, you don't have to do...
You're usually just standing there waiting for someone to throw the ball to you.
Yes.
And it's important to make those catches and not allow errors. But like I've seen with Chris Bryant, and you're definitely right, you're diving, you know, you're laser shooting those balls over to first base across the field. So yeah, you're making a good case for why he deserves it. So
I think Nolan gets it, and that's me using the stats and hiding your biases.
So I mean, real question is if Paul gets it, is it a snub?
We're
gonna see.
I think so.
Yeah,
Paul's played good first base for a while.
Yeah, not to discredit him.
And
I mean,
it's not. It just is this year, especially with his clutch hitting, the Father's Day game that will go down in like Rocky's lore of the walk-off grand slam cycle.
Right.
It's been that kind of year for them. And not to say that the Diamondbacks, the Rockies and Diamondbacks to start this season were not supposed to be in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And both of them have Rockies will get close to 90 wins. The Diamondbacks have over 90 wins. It's just been that kind of year. Both teams have been on fire.
Right.
But Nolan Arenado has proved his case that he's not just a hitter at Coors. He's a hitter everywhere he goes.
Right, and I think a thing people need to realize is, like, in the title of the acronym, valuable, like, you know, you can have...
Yeah.
You can be like... I liken Paul Goldschmidt to Giancarlo Stanton. You can hit a ton of home runs, but that doesn't mean you're going to win all the games.
Right.
Nolan Arenado, like you said, he makes the clutch catches. He gets guys out at first. He makes, you know, all these big plays that are huge. And that's what makes him, you know, inherently valuable to the team.
Right.
So
moving on to the AL, we have it narrowed down to two people in Aaron Judge and Jose Altuve.
All rise.
Here we go. That was good. I appreciate that. So here are the stats for them. Aaron Judge has 48 home runs. Jose Altuve has 24. Aaron Judge has a .281 average, while Jose Altuve has a monster .348 average. Aaron Judge has 105 RBIs. Jose Altuve has 80 RBIs. Aaron Judge has 8 stolen bases. Jose Altuve's got 32 stolen bases. And here is the stat that I want to use the most here. This is that Baseball Reference's WAR, wins above replacement. Aaron Judge has a 7.1 wins above replacement average. Jose Altuve has an 8.2 wins above replacement average.
Right.
So for me, looking at these numbers, even though Aaron Judge is like a monster at the plate, his average is 281.
Yeah, there have been. I saw a statistic where every time he like hit a home run in that game, he's also stricken or struck out.
Right.
So like, you know, it's very. I mean, both of them are both you know, consistent with one another.
And I know that shows in the RBI count of 105 versus, you know, 80 for Jose's, but to maintain a 348 average, still have 80 RBIs, and have 32 stolen bases. I don't know. When you go up to the plate and when you cheer on, if I was a fan for either of them, in my mindset, it's going to be like, okay, Aaron Judge is either going to hit a home run or he's going to strike out. If I'm a fan of the Astros, I'm going to be like, I know Jose Altuve is getting on base.
Right. You can be more confident.
That's the mindset.
Yeah.
That's different.
That's a good point.
And so, the numbers, there's not enough stats in there to point towards the next batter up. Like what Jose Altuve does besides stealing bases.
Yeah.
But like the face of the game changes when you stay on base.
Yeah. Like I said, I think it goes back to the analogy of Paul Goldschmidt and Giancarlo. You know, Aaron Judge is a rookie, so you got to keep that in mind.
Oh, yeah. Which he's hands down to get rookie of the year. That's
right,
for sure.
Absolutely. No arguing that. He hits a lot. He scores a lot of points.
Right.
And, I mean, obviously, Jose is a lot older than him.
Okay.
So he's a lot more experienced. So maybe that is a thing that makes him more deserving of it. And I think another thing is, like you said, consistency is definitely an issue because you want a guy to always get on base or, you know, because Aaron Judge will hit a lot and he'll get a lot of runs, but, you know, he's also going to strike out. And that doesn't really look good on your, you know.
And this reminds me of last year when Trevor Story came on the scene for the Rockies, rookie, and his first, 40 games, he hit 22 home runs. And he was on pace to look just like Aaron Judge's stats.
Mm-hmm.
But then he had an ACL tear, which threw him out of the season.
Right.
Which he was on track to win Rookie of the Year and everything. But his strikeout rate was extremely annoying.
Yeah.
Because as a fan, I was like, okay, here comes story time. Is he going to hit a home run or is he going to strike out? Because I'm not really sure here.
You can't be too confident in that, you know?
And so, I just think Jose Altuve has been in the league for a while.
Yeah.
And I think it's about time
I think we can agree on that one, that he'll win that one. So.
And hands down, Aaron Judge is going to be here for a long time.
Right. You know, no one's going to not believe
in him. And he can enjoy his Rookie of the Year award.
Right.
And next year win MVP.
Right.
But Jose.
Has there ever been a rookie that's won MVP?
That's a good question.
I think there has been. I'm not sure, but, you know. We'll get back to you on that.
Okay, cool.
Moving on. NBA time.
NBA.
Trades. Let's go.
Trade Nation.
Yeah, here we go.
we've had a lot of trades go down, John. Give us the rundown here.
I remember walking to and from my class, looking down at my phone, and it said Melo to OKC. And I was like, oh, Ryan's got to hear about this. So I text you the notification, and man, it was pretty interesting.
I did not see that one coming.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people did. But
and my favorite thing was his press conference. What was he wearing?
A hoodie.
A hoodie with the OKC jersey on.
Yeah.
That cracked me up. Hashtag hoodie mellow.
And he was like shades of Allen Iverson. He's like, are you coming off the bench? He's like, me? Me? Coming off the bench? Hey, I'm a starter.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's start off with Paul Millsap to Denver.
Woo! So let me throw in my opinion here.
It's nice
to have an all-star on the team for the first time since Melo left, which is really cool to have an all-star. I'm going to miss Gallinari, though. Danilo went to the Clippers in a part of that three-team trade. And Danilo was the person that helped me get through, not like we're best friends or anything, but as a fan.
He helped me get through some tough times.
He helped me get through some tough times dealing with the whole Melo situation in Denver that was probably one of the most toxic things a franchise can go through.
Gonna miss those cornrows.
Yeah. Man. And so when he left, kind of we were like, well, who's going to run this team now?
Right.
George Karl is a great coach, and he brought that team to a 50-win season without any All-Stars. And Danilo Gallinari was just his free throw shooting percentage was, for a while that season, was over 90%. Like, he never missed.
Yeah.
And then he just had clutch threes.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a couple of episodes of, the association that the NBA puts out that followed the Nuggets that year. And I'm just like, Gallinari's just a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a good basketball player. So, as a fan, I'm going to miss him. And I know he'll do pretty good for the Clippers. But it's Paul Millsap and Nikola Jokic, the two big men down there.
Centers,
I don't know, man. It's going to be a fun season.
No fly zone, man.
No.
Yep.
For two franchises, man. The no fly zone.
Yeah, Paul Mills, he agreed to a 3-year, $90 million deal with the Nuggets.
That's he finally lot. Paid someone some money.
That's a lot of dough. Yeah, you got a deep pocket, and you're going to use it.
We offered Dwayne Wade last year $55 million for 2 years. No, 3 years.
Yeah, 2 years. $55 million. Excessive.
And that was a lot for us at the time.
Right.
And Chicago somehow had us beat with a lot more money and less ropes attached.
Well, plus it's going to make a statement if you're going back to your hometown, you know.
Yeah, we saw how that worked out.
Right. Anyway, moving on.
Moving on.
Speaking of Dwayne Wade, he signed a 1 year I don't even believe this. $2.3 million. That's chump change compared to the deal you just said. With the Cavaliers, reuniting with LBJ, the King, LeBron James.
Chicago did not like him to the point that they bought out his contract.
You know, yeah, that's gotta say something.
I mean,
man.
I know you're getting your money, but man, that's just a. If you're in it for the money, then you walked away with winning that deal.
And I have a stat here that speaks to what you just said. He was giving up $5.7 million to play with Cleveland, and he's taking pay cuts equaling, throughout his whole career nearing $32 million. So it's not about the dollar sign for him. It's about getting the rings. I mean, he got three with Miami.
Yep.
And, you know, I mean, he's definitely going for another with LeBron and the whole new setup and they have in Cleveland. So
yeah, we're gonna have to do a little special in that next episode,
right?
Because the way that team looks like right now with the names on there, I was like,
crazy.
Is this either this is like team washout,
right?
Or who let this happen?
Because I think all those guys are 30, or, I mean, Isaiah Thomas is 28, so he's getting up there. But,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's an all-star lineup. It's close to peak age, and it's, you know, looks like a super team to me. But
I know, but if I was a player and my contract got bought out, like, that's just I feel like that's a bad omen for me.
Yeah, you want to leave.
You want to leave on good terms. Like, you want to leave, like, being a rock star, and Dwayne Wade did not look like what the Bulls brought him in for.
Yeah, it was really...
And they should have known.
Really? It was just him and Jimmy G, so...
And Jimmy G's not even there anymore.
No, he's gone up north, so... gone fishing. Moving on to the Boston Celtic trade with Cleveland. The Cavaliers finalized a deal that will send Kyrie Irving to the Celtics for Isaiah Thomas, Jay Crowder, Ante Zizek, and the Nets' unprotected 2018 first-round pick. And now with Cleveland acquiring Derrick Rose, and now Dwayne Wade.
Yeah.
A lot of it's looking on the Cleveland side to see who won. Because initially, I thought Boston won. You got one of the best point guards in the league with crazy handles, clutch shots.
Right,
because Isaiah Thomas won't be out. Well, he'll be, you know, quote unquote, back by Christmas or January.
Right.
So you're going a couple months without your player. And really all you got was Ante Zizek and a first round pick in 2018, which wasn't much to me. But right. once the develops came, especially with Dwayne Wade coming back, you know, it's really stacking up against them.
Yeah, and they probably were looking to free up their cap space too with the contract that
right.
Irving had.
Mm-hmm.
It probably just frees up a lot more of them to do what they just did, bring in Dwayne Wade, bring in D-Rose. Yeah. So
I'm
just curious to see how Boston's going to do this year with this new face.
It's reminiscent of 2008 when they acquired Ray Allen.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
That's true.
Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce, like that's a big three right there, and there's a reason why they won in 2008 over Kobe.
It's true,
you know.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun to watch them this year, Boston, and the Cleveland Cavaliers. But also, I just wanted to make a note. Actually, I'll just hold on to that because I'll note it in a few minutes here.
All right. And now the last one, Hoodie Mello to Oklahoma City. This is a pretty recent development, you know, one or two days ago.
Yeah.
But Carmelo reached an agreement with New York, full-time transition, and he will be the new power forward for Cleveland starting over. And once I saw the lineup, it was kind of interesting to see who was still on the bench. You got J.R. Smith, Kyle Korver, and they're starting Tristan Thompson, which was weird.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And they're going to be benching Isaiah Thomas anyway. So,
right.
Yeah, that was an interesting one. But yeah, he's going to Cleveland. Hashtag super team question mark.
Super team. We'll see.
That's a big name.
We'll see. Either it's a super team or they all blow out their ACLs this year.
It's a big name in the West for sure. Regardless, yeah. But it's an interesting, interesting development either way. They haven't finalized how long he's going to play for or how much. We will get those details to you as soon as they come up.
Okay.
But, you know, he's there, so.
Mello.
He was on the plane.
It's going to look good.
Yeah, and he had this whole goodbye letter to New York City, and, you know, I
don't think he meant it.
No.
New York, that was trash.
They just do that for
the whole time he was there. It was trash.
Triangle.
Moving
on to preseason predictions.
Hang on. I want to talk really quickly about statement jerseys.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The state. I forgot to put it in our itinerary. But the statement jerseys, a lot of them look sweet. And then a lot of them are like, really, Nike?
Really?
This is all you had to come up with? And more, I don't know, man. Give it. Okay, so here's my note. Boston Celtics, they're going to go with a mostly green outfit, which looks fine.
The classic.
But I'm actually excited. In general, I'm disappointed that it had to come to this where they're doing like the logos on the side.
Yeah.
Some of them look stupid.
The GE looks kind of nice.
But on Boston, I was going to say, I really like how that GE logo looks on their uniforms.
It pops.
To the point where I almost want to buy a Celtics jersey just to have.
Yeah, I
know. It just looks cool.
It's crisp and clean, you know.
Yeah, and so I don't know. I was like,
Cleveland has the Goodyear on there.
Yeah.
But
I was like, is the NBA really like in the hole that much where they need
sponsorships
on their jerseys?
It's just about
The NFL does that in their practice jerseys where like the Broncos have the Buick logo on their practice jerseys. But I was like, this is like the game, man, and you're just going to... I'm not a fan of like having the Western Union on the Nuggets jersey.
Yeah, the corporate affiliation is a little annoying, but like put yourself in the minds of general managers or team owners. You can like make, I think the Golden State Warriors had like this Japanese company. It was like, it starts with a K, Koten or something. I don't know.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
what I'm talking about.
Yep.
And it's not too noticeable. It'll make, I think they signed $175 million for 10 years or something.
Jeez. That's almost like they're paying stadium rights.
A little stitching in your jersey and you can make millions and millions of dollars. I mean, from an economic or business standpoint, go for it. It makes tons of sense. I mean, look at the NASCAR people. I mean, they have their whole get-ups are, you know, literally just brands on their cars and everything. So, like you said, statement jerseys are nice. Some of them, a lot better than others, but yeah.
Yeah, and guys, if you're listening, I mean, ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening out here, please head over to the rvcvalleyforge.com to catch Jay Holiday's sick take on these statement jerseys. They look that article was awesome to look over.
Thanks for that plug.
You're welcome. Yeah. I got your back.
Alrighty.
Let's go to conference reviews.
Let's go to predictions real quick.
Okay.
Eastern Conference.
Eastern Conference. Here we go.
Here we go.
So, for the Atlantic Conference in the Eastern, the Atlantic Division in the Eastern Conference, we've got Boston, Philly, and Toronto. Who do you buy winning that division?
First off, after Isaiah Thomas and Ante Zizek moved from Boston, that's really all that's there in the East. You got Boston, Washington that we didn't list, and Toronto. And Philly is an up-and-coming team, I think, with the rookies they have, Markelle Fultz and Ben Simmons, along with Joel Embiid, TTP.
Okay.
Trust the process.
Trust the process. Amen.
So, I mean, it's a little discouraging to see these trades go on and to see how weak a conference can be with just a move of a couple players, you know?
Right, right.
You know, it's really only, like, who's going to come out of the East? Boston, and that's it, you know?
Yeah.
They might even, you know...
I don't know.
Cleveland,
I don't think Philly's got it.
Cleveland's the top dog. I mean...
I know, but Toronto, you got they're scrappy.
You got DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry, and I think you got one of the... those two twin players, twin brother players. You know who I'm talking about?
Yes.
One plays in Phoenix.
Oh, man.
I can't think of his name.
I'll probably remember it after the podcast. Right. Dang it.
That's his name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That guy. So you have Boston winning the Atlantic Division?
Yeah, I mean.
Okay. I mean, it's reasonable. It makes sense.
I'll go Boston, Toronto, Philly. Just Philly. I like to trust the process and believe in them.
Yeah.
They're just young and inexperienced. That just won't get you anywhere.
Time will tell.
Time will tell.
Time will tell for Philly.
What's your pick for Atlantic?
I would take. You know, I don't know. Okay.
Hot take. Here
we
go.
Here we go. I'm taking Toronto over Boston.
Good pick.
Because
respectable.
I just don't know how Kyrie Irving's going to do in Boston
that's
with the
point.
Gel of the team. And Toronto's not had that many changes in their lineup for a couple of years.
They made the playoffs last season, so.
And they played the playoffs the year before that. And the year before that. Their GM, Masai Ujiri, is a genius. And so he took this team that was in shambles and put it together.
Plus you got Drake, so. I mean,
yep. That's right.
He's got you clapping
and,
for you on
hey,
the sidelines.
And we got our boy Fred VanVleet there.
Yeah.
Which he's probably going to see more playing time too this
Represent
year.
Represent 815.
We'll see. But I'm taking Toronto over Boston. That's all my right. hot take.
Good pick.
Moving on to the Central. This probably is a shoe in the bag.
Easy.
But we'll see how you see. Cleveland, Detroit Pistons, or the Milwaukee Bucks?
Obviously, I mean, if I have half a brain, go in Cleveland.
Okay.
If
I'm from Wisconsin, I'm probably going to challenge you on that one.
Go in Milwaukee.
I'm trying not to be biased here, but I'm probably going to take Milwaukee over, who is them? Oh yeah. The snot feeders in Detroit. But see, that's me being Wisconsin and I'm not from Wisconsin and I'm taking Cleveland. Bush.
Like we said last time, Cleveland's got that lineup. You know, if your bench is deeper than most starters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's my question, though, to you. On this on this division specifically, we know Cleveland's going to have it in the bag.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that Detroit and Milwaukee will take steps this year getting better?
Detroit hasn't been...
He's crying. Excuse
yeah,
me.
I'm crying.
Breathe deep.
He hasn't. Okay. They haven't been super promising as of late. Okay. I mean, major accomplishments was 89-90 when they won back to back.
Bad boys.
Yeah.
Bad boys.
And then they had
that was
the,
a great 30 for 30, by the way.
I remember. Was it in Detroit? Malice at the Palace.
Yes.
Yes. Ron Artest.
Meta World Peace. Who would have thought?
And then, I mean, really only other starter I can think of in Detroit is Andre Drummond.
Okay.
And they're,
so you probably think they're going to stay the same?
Yeah, and their statement jerseys suck. I mean,
yeah.
You know.
also catch that on his take in the Valley Forge.
Milwaukee, you got Ante. He's going for MVP race, dude.
Do you think Milwaukee's gonna get close to challenging Cleveland this year? That's my question.
Yes and no. I think they'll give them a challenge. They'll give them a run for their money, but nowhere clear.
Okay.
Nowhere close as to Boston or anyone in the West. All right. So
hey, at least you're honest. And moving on to the Southeast Division, we have Atlanta, the Charlotte Hornets, and the Washington Wizards. Who are you going to take there?
This is a closer one. Charlotte just got Dwight Howard. You got the big...
Watch their team just fall apart.
Right, and you got Kemba Walker. He's a great shooter as well.
Yeah.
Atlanta hasn't been super promising, really, after losing Dwight Howard, especially.
Right. You know, they got Paul Mills out.
Yeah, they got rid of those two. You still have Schroeder, which is all right, but he's still young. Washington is probably the most promising for me. You got John Wall and...
Jay Wall.
Beasley. What's his name?
Yes. His last name, Beasley.
Yeah. Those two are the two of the promising ones. I mean, people have likened him to being the best point guard in the league, or at least in the East.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of hard to tell. But I'm picking Washington.
Mm-mm. Whoa.
Oh.
Freaky fast, freaky cool.
Hey. Okay. Got that plug from Jimmy John's.
Bye, Nick. That was our ghost friend, Nick, who wanted to inform us that there was a random Jimmy John's worker around here looking for input on the Southeast Conference.
I got Washington. Division. What about you?
Division. Dude.
Who are you going to go with? It's like...
I just wish there were more... better players there, man.
Yeah.
It just is dumb that it's come to this. You know what? I'm going to... No.
Hot take.
I can't back Dwight Howard.
Hot take.
No way.
Hot take.
Dwight Howard should have in his Instagram bio, destroyer of teams, mother of dragons, and...
Look what happened when he went to L.A. He had that conflict with Kobe when he went to L.A.
Yeah.
You know?
It just is... If he's listening, sorry. But not sorry, you're chill.
You peaked at the dunk contest.
You should have stayed with the Magic, right. In my opinion. I'm taking Washington.
All right, good pick.
Moving on to the Western Conference, where real basketball plays.
Action
just
here.
Just kidding.
Northwest.
We've got, this is probably going to be the most interesting division. Not because I've got my Denver Nuggets in there, but these five teams could actually... win the division this year in the preseason pick.
It's a close
You've
race.
Got the Nuggets.
AFC West.
You've no fly zone.
Yeah.
You've got Minnesota, who now has
Jimmy G.
Jimmy G reunited with his coach. I always remember his name, but it's because I respect him. Oh my gosh. I'm so mad I forgot it.
Yeah.
But Jimmy G's there in that system where defense is key. They're going to hold teams down, and they've got a couple of cool players there that I was going to say dunk master, but Zach LaVine's now with the Bulls.
Right.
So, but Jimmy, if Jimmy's proved anything in his tenure with the Bulls, it's that despite what Derrick Rose did, he can run a team.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think he could. There's
a possibility.
They're an underdog.
All right.
Don't.
Hot take.
Keep an eye out for them. Tom Thibodeau. That's their coach.
Tom Thibodeau.
Tibbs. I love his voice, man. He's so cool. All right, the next team is Oklahoma City, which we just covered about their trade acquisitions.
Deep bench.
And
big three.
Beautiful Stamen jerseys.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful.
Beautiful.
You got Portland, who has got Yusuf Nurkic from...
Dame time. Dame time.
That's right. So they have a nice team. They have what am I saying? They have a nice team. They look good this year.
They're looking good.
And then also Utah's just been solid for the past 3 years.
You know, you lost Gordon Hayward, all you guys were Rudy Gobert.
Oh, that's right.
You know?
That's true.
Well, we even forgot to mention him in that trade.
Sorry.
My bad.
We'll put that one on the board.
He got reunited with his coach, so.
That's true.
Yeah.
So.
Butler.
Who do you think's taking the Western Conference?
You know what?
I mean, Northwest Division.
This is a tough one. But, you know, Melo is a huge pick for me.
Okay.
I got to go with OKC. Minnesota is definitely an underdog. Portland is definitely a contender, but I'm going with OKC.
Okay.
You got the reigning MVP. Mm-hmm. You got PG-13. He's a great shooter.
Mm-hmm.
And you got, of course, Melo.
And Westbrook.
Hey, Westbrook. I said MVP.
I know. I just wanted to say
okay.
his name.
Yeah.
You know, this is going to show my colors, but I'm picking Oklahoma City. Denver's going to get the wild card. They just have a really good team this year.
Yeah.
I just think if there's talent spread amongst teams, this Northwest Division is going to be crazy to watch this year.
Which begs the question, why not do that in the East?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're working it in the West, why not in the East?
It's true.
So,
good point. Whatever. Moving over to the Pacific Division, which is probably going to be the easiest shoe-in, but
definitely the Clippers.
Okay. You said it, not me. You said it.
Not my words.
You got Golden State and the Clippers that are the only two teams that are good in that division. I'm not taking the Lakers. I'm not taking Sacramento. I'm
Big Baller Man? Oh, man. Come on.
Not for me.
Oh, man.
I know this is easy, but I'm taking the town.
Come on.
In respect of their sick statement jerseys.
Clippers, after J.J. Redick left and moved to the Sixers, mm-hmm. you have Andre Jordan. And Blake Griffin.
Yep.
Two guys that can play really
well. Chris Paul's not there anymore, right?
Chris Paul moved to Houston. Oh, we forgot to mention Houston. Oh, wait, there's Southwest.
That's
true. Right.
There one more.
You know, Sacramento acquired, what's his name? That prospect, Fox.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I'm familiar with what you're talking about.
Yeah. So he's a promising rookie, and you have Vince Carter, obviously.
Yeah.
The ageless wonder. But hey, like you said, it's
if
an
you
easy,
can do it, you can do it.
It's an easy pick, Golden State.
Okay.
Southwest.
And then the Southwest Division, you've got the San Antonio Spurs, the Memphis Grizzlies, which cool statement jerseys, by the way,
mm-hmm.
and the Houston Rockets.
It's a battle in Texas for sure. San Antonio has a great playoff run. They've made it for what, I don't know, past 10 years.
I think more.
Yeah,
more than that.
Really can't go wrong with Greg Popovich.
No.
Kawhi not, you know?
That was good.
Houston, you got CP3. You got James Harden. Was there a bigger name in there? Can't think of it. I think there's a big three in Houston. I just can't think of it. It'll come to me.
Eventually. After the podcast.
After the podcast. tough pick. Let's hear your take first.
I don't... Memphis is...
Who's coming out of the Southwest?
Right? I think Memphis is going to get a playoff spot. Okay.
Okay. All right.
They're going to get one of the wild cards. Okay. But I just... The way James Harden played in the playoffs last year, it just kind of irked me a little bit how much he gave up. Mm-hmm. It was clear that he gave up.
Well, I mean, the thing with that, he was going for the MVP. He knew he was in contention with Kawhi and Russell, so you had to kind of ball out and be the ball hog if you wanted to.
I know, but like when that. He just, and it goes back to like being like how much effort do you put in? And I just always see 100% from the Spurs,
right?
And
absolutely, I agree.
To
with
be
that.
The face of the franchise and to be the man of the hour, and for you to sluggishly walk around in the playoff, like just
he doesn't care. Sometimes he doesn't care to get the offensive rebounds. Yeah, absolutely.
I think San Antonio takes it.
I agree with you that one. Question I have to ask for Memphis is if CP3 didn't make a difference in LA, you know, with Doc Rivers and not making that playoff run.
Yeah.
What makes fans and myself and maybe you think, how is it going to be any different with Harden in Houston? Because you have two great guys that can play the paint. You got Andre Jordan and Blake Griffin. And he's not much of a shooter, but he's good with the assists. He's good in playing the paint. And,
right.
I mean, obviously James Harden's a great three-point shooter, but it's just I'm not confident enough knowing that Houston will make it out of there without beating San Antonio or, you know, some other equally talented right. team, you know?
I know. And it's team dynamics, too.
Right.
You see that the Spurs have been a complete team
Absolutely.
For many years.
They're good all the way around.
And you don't always see that with other teams. Mm-hmm. And with the Rockets, you have these good players, but you don't always see them have a good team.
Yeah.
And so they'll make a run.
It's just like the MLB.
They'll put wins together. But when it comes down to crunch time, it's, you know, if you lose your confidence, you lose your confidence. And I saw that in James Harden last year.
Right.
So I just... And it's also coaching, too.
As much as you think it's all you on the floor mm-hmm. by yourself, MVP yeah. contender, you're making these clutch shots.
Yeah. And when you're on the floor 81% of the time,
yeah.
I understand you get tired.
Yeah.
This is your
prone.
Livelihood.
Yeah.
This is what you do. This is what your muscle memory has literally been trained for 20-plus years to do.
Right.
I just don't see San Antonio going, yeah.
Yeah, no.
We're not going to try.
Plus, if he's playing a lot, he's going to be more injury prone, which is, you know, big deal. Right.
Which I think is why they brought CP3 in there.
Right. You got some relief.
He's going to be a nice guy to help level out the team, but I just don't see it leveling out to the point where they gain significant ground on San Antonio this
players
year.
Like...
Without an injury. Without an
right.
injury.
Players like Harden and Westbrook definitely, you know, and this is what separates those two against... Kawhi, especially.
Right.
And I'm going to get into this. I mean, you have guys like Kawhi that are just like, I feel like he's much more, he plays both ends of the floor beautifully. He's
yeah.
very offensive and he sprints down to the other side of the court, you know, blocking shots,
right.
you know, giving contested jump shots. He's very versatile and that's what mm-hmm. makes his team good. He can lean back on the other guys.
Right.
But with Westbrook, you know, he can lean on his big guys like Steven Adams or Enes Kanter. And I mean, I feel like the MVP thing is a blessing and a curse because you're going and contesting for this title, but it's also like blocking your vision from the true, you know, are you playing for a trophy or are you playing for MVP? You know?
Right.
You know, it's two different things. And I think they have new mindsets now because Harden has Chris Paul and, Westbrook has a new, more solid team.
Yeah,
with Melo and PG-13, Paul George. So I mean, hopefully this season will give him a new perspective on and Paul George said it's all about winning. It always has been, and you know that kind of state of mind will definitely change things around for those two teams, and
right.
will make OKC and Houston big contenders against Golden State. So
yeah, I like your take there.
Alrighty.
It's good.
Moving on to the NHL. Newest team of the franchise, the Vegas Golden Knights.
Not Las Vegas Golden Knights. Vegas Golden
Just
Knights.
Just Vegas, yeah.
Just Vegas. No need for Las when you've got a Vegas.
Right.
So, their preseason, they look all right. They've been scoring a lot of points on people.
Mm-hmm.
And so, their preseason numbers, they're 3-1. And I think that's all about I'm going to buy from them. These expansion teams, it's always just so hard to
Yeah, you really can't be confident in a new franchise. Boston Bruins, 4-1. I'm buying. I'm buying?
I'm buying. I think I would buy them too. The other team I was thinking about was Montreal, but they have just...
Tanked.
They didn't even win a game this preseason.
Yeah, I got them winning the Atlantic Division. Another hot team right now.
Well, hang on. One more team I want to point out is that Tampa Bay and Detroit are both 2-3. And I can't speak to Detroit because Detroit's been meh for a couple of years.
Meh.
I can't tell.
Nothing to write home about.
With Tampa Bay, I think this is just them figuring out the kinks in their
yeah.
new season. And mm-hmm. I think Tampa Bay is going to, it's going to be Boston or Tampa Bay that runs out with that
Absolutely.
Division. But it was clear that Boston was the more complete team last
yeah.
season. Central Division in the Eastern Conference. Sorry. Wow, that's not true. Sorry. The Metropolitan Division, you've got the Islanders that lead that division without a loss, 4-0-2. But then you also have New Jersey that won yesterday with a game with a record of 5-1. So I don't know if New Jersey's going to hold it up for as much as other people think they do.
Yeah.
But the Islanders, they just, John Tavares is just, is the best thing that ever came out of that 2007 draft. Like, mm-hmm. He's just so good, and he's the captain. He's the leader of that team. And the Islanders had a tough go last season. They didn't do very well. But I think they needed a tough season to kind of recalibrate. And they're in a newer, their stadium is 2 years old. I think it's about time they put some wins in there.
Right.
Compared over to, and I know you're in the same division as the Rangers and the, let's talk about this. You've got the Washington Capitals that went 1-4. You have Columbus that's 2-3. You have Pittsburgh that won the Stanley Cup that's 3-2. And you have the Rangers that are 3-2. So I know it looks like the Islanders have this away with, but this is just preseason.
Right.
It's preseason. You've got the Caps and the Pens and just the Blue Jackets, who all made the playoffs last year.
Yeah, the Blue Jackets were definitely an underdog.
I think the Blue Jackets are going to come back to life, and they're going to kind of level out compared to what they did. They exited in the first round. Mm-hmm. That was the biggest disappointment.
Right.
So I think the Islanders are going to take over their spot, and I think the Caps and the Pens are going to push well. Although I'm interested to see how the Penguins do, because you always have that post Stanley Cup, you know, it's not, I don't want to say depressing, but it just,
yeah, I was thinking
you got a hangover from the Stanley Cup.
Right.
So I think it's going to be the Capitals and the Islanders that are going to help run that conference.
All right.
Season.
Yeah.
Depending on how Ovi does, because he does great in the regular season, and then when it comes to postseason, Ovi just falls off the map.
Yeah. Moving on to the Central Conference, Colorado Avalanche.
The conference of the there was a name for the U.S. men's soccer conference that they were in a couple years ago. It was the Conference of Death.
Mm-mm. Oh, yeah, yeah. I heard about that.
It was, and this is what it's been for the past couple years, is that this Central Conference is the toughest conference to play in, hands down.
Yeah.
So you've got the Colorado Avalanche, who are somehow in the lead in the, well, okay. Again, even though this is preseason picks here, the Avalanche won, they went 6-0 last year in their preseason, and then proceeded to have the worst season in 25 years in the NHL.
Ooh.
So again, yikes. you hold on to this with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
But Chicago is 2-2. Nashville was 2-2. St. Louis is 3-3. Minnesota was 3-2, but they've put out their minor leaguers almost every game. So with the preseason pick, with the trades that the Blackhawks had in getting Brandon Saad back, his first game back at the United Center, he scored a hat trick. They've got a new guy who was, because we're IceHogs fans, so we've been keeping an eye on him. The IceHogs affiliate, the Indy Fury, is where Alex DeBrincat, it looks like DeBrincat, or Brincat, DeBrincat.
Mm-hmm.
It's a French name. I'm not really good with that. They've got him on the line, and he's been producing.
Yeah.
I think the Blackhawks are going to win the Central, and it's going to be,
of course.
Nashville did such a good job last year,
oh, yeah,
of playing well. And I don't see anybody really taking over that spot.
But they're used to choking, so.
Yes. And I, as much as I love Colorado, prove me wrong, I don't see them. I think they'll get at least 50 wins this year.
Okay.
But, I mean, sorry, no. That's my bad. I think they're going to get close to 30 wins.
30 wins.
30 wins.
That's a different
50.
Number, yeah.
Yeah, my bad. I was like, whoa. You probably just crapped your pants.
Yeah, jumping the gun there.
No. I think they'll get 30 to 35, and it'll be an improvement season. They'll get 70 points.
Okay.
Who do you take in Central?
I mean, got to stay true to my city. Chicago, mm-hmm. Blackhawks, baby.
Blackhawks, yeah.
All right.
I think the only two that could change around is that Minnesota, St. Louis, and Nashville.
Hey, the Wild had a good season last season.
They did. They did well, and then they proved that they were a bad team.
Yep.
They are not the state of hockey. Sorry. Hot take. Moving on to the Pacific Conference. You've got the Oilers, who are 5-1 in the preseason, and that's probably how it's going to look like for the whole season. I'm taking the Oilers to win that conference. You can't deny the talent they have on there. Connor McDavid, you've got, the gentleman from the Bruins. Oh, my gosh.
Well, I think I know what you're talking about.
No, how can I forget? I have NHL 17. I play it all the time. My bad. But their team's loaded, and they look good, and they're going to carry on with Connor McDavid throughout the season.
Alrighty. Couple questions for you.
Okay.
Will Matt Duchene get traded from Colorado?
That's been the biggest question in NHL all season, not just because it's my team.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Duchene had a press conference, or not a press conference, but met with the press and then told them, "Hi there, I'm just playing for my contract and to be for this team. No more questions. We'll see you later."
Wow.
Which was extremely awkward.
Kind of a Greg Popovich interview.
Yes. Yeah. But the preseason, he's high-fiving his teammates. He's playing around.
Keeping morale up.
He's looking like his old self. Contract negotiations suck. And they're not always fun.
Yeah.
And the Colorado defense has sucked for 6-7 years. So it makes sense that Joe Sakic would put him out on the trade block to see if they could get a better defenseman for him.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the case. And I'm actually proud of Joe Sakic for sticking to his guns here, because it's easy to flaunt someone like Matt Duchene out, who is an all-star, who's an Olympic medalist, he's going to put up 30 goals. He's going to do that. And so you can't get any less than a top four young defenseman for him.
Right.
And Joe Sakic, stick to your guns. We have him under contract. And unless the right deal comes along, I don't see Matt Duchene being traded this year.
Alrighty.
Which is, I just don't think it's going to happen.
New question. Another question. New offsides rule. Will the minor penalty for failure, will that help change calls, or will it not?
Yes.
Yes.
I think so, because it's not that, oh, man, I just lost my coach's timeout, whatever. You get a 2-minute penalty for... Because that's the most annoying thing is that, oh, I want to challenge that offsides because the goal was good anyways. Just stop it.
Yeah.
Just stop it.
Stop.
The refs are there to see the line, and if you want to delay the game and ruin the momentum of the game, you deserve to have a penalty.
Absolutely.
And that'll probably clean out some of the coaches' challenges, too, that take up time from the game anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like the NHL's hurting for time, but stuff just gets cumbersome and annoying.
That makes sense.
I like the new rule.
That makes sense.
Eric? And then, you see it, and you mentioned it. The Ottawa Senators were like the Cinderella team last year in the playoffs. Craig Anderson had an insane season while his wife had cancer, and he had to get sidelined for a while because of those issues. And it just, that team came to life, and they were the vanilla team, but they were the Cinderella team. And so Erik Karlsson, they're like one of the NHL's best defensemen. He took a shot in the playoffs that broke his ankle.
Ooh.
And he actually... You see his interview, he talks about it. He actually lost, like, they used half of his ankle to replace it together.
Man.
Gross. I don't want to think about that. But he's still in the IR. He's recovering from the ankle surgery. Easy to say that he probably won't be bending the knee to take more shots, but we'll see. And just, he's a good guy. He'll come back. I just don't know if Craig Anderson will be able to. He's a good goalie. He's been consistent, but he's a defenseman that shuts it down, but then also can have those sexy slap shots.
Mm.
So it's going to hurt them for a while. But Erik Karlsson's one of the bigger names in the league, and for him to be out at the beginning of the season kind of hurts for any person that likes
Ottawa
Senators.
Yeah, it's a detriment to the team. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, since I mentioned it, the Game of Thrones reference of
Bend the knee.
Moving on to the NFL. John. This has been a huge topic.
Huge topic. All over the news.
It's been everywhere. You can't unsee it.
No.
No matter how much you want to close your eyes and pretend that it's not there. bending the knee for the national anthem and fans of Game of Thrones. I know I'm a fan. I know you're not a fan. What's your take?
Let's have some discourse.
Shut it down. Shut this place
shut
down. I'm going to burn this place down.
Turn
I can't
off.
Believe you. How dare you?
You know, I've never really been a fan of politics and sports intersecting in the first place.
Oh.
I mean, you can talk about the politics of sports. You know, there's an economy of sports as well.
I would vote for John Elway.
Yeah, I think anyone would. You know, it's just, it's trying to look for the right word here. It's not, I don't want to say disappointing, but it's something you wish hadn't happened.
Right.
Personally, because, I mean, I'm all for free speech. I'm all for First Amendment rights. I mean, I'm a patriot. I'm as American as it gets.
Okay.
I like, you know, having the freedom of speech. It's a great privilege that you and I have, that anyone has, that's been fought for by people overseas. And, you know, there's no way of, you know, amending that sacrifice. It's something that's always going to be there. Just to clarify, I'm not against them kneeling. I don't agree with it.
Okay.
I'm for their free speech. I'm for respecting our country and people that have sacrificed for it. But
you mentioned it colors your perspective of them.
Right. Yeah.
You have a different view. I didn't mean to. I'm okay.
I don't know what to think, honestly. Sometimes.
I'm okay with them bending the knee. If you look at the statistics that are out there of our justice system, it's hard not to think, wow, there's I kind of see why some of them get ticked.
Yeah, you can kind of understand it.
And I know it's been a touchy subject for a lot of people, and you know, everyone's going to have those crazy relatives that forward them emails of, I'm never going to watch the NFL again, and how dare they? They should just be shipped off to
boycott the NFL.
Blank, 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 and I'm never... Shut up.
Right.
Stop it right now. You are no better. And it didn't help the whole situation that our wonderful commander-in-chief called them SOBs.
Yeah, I think...
If I got called an SOB, of course, I'm going to be like, oh, okay. All right, let's fight. So I see that didn't help beforehand, and that's definitely not going to help after the fact. I'm not turning this into a political show, but we have problems with North Korea and the world and everything else. So I think we should just, you can't separate politics out of football, but going back to the reason why they started bending the knee with Colin Kaepernick, it's hard as a white American, it's hard not to look at that and be like, wow, there's definitely some bias in the justice system. And there's even though I don't want to say that, oh man, well, I haven't dealt with white privilege, like whatever. It's it just is something that I can't understand because I have white skin and the best that I can do is put myself in their shoes and see the way they see the world. And I'm like, okay, I have to do a better job, even though, you know, I can see, you know, I can say, well, I'm not a racist and I don't think people badly. That's not the point. It's your initial thoughts when you see people. It's your perception of a whole race group. It's a person, and that has to change as a whole. So I respect the military. Their sacrifice is important. And you have the people that have served in the military that do play in the NFL, and they still stand up, and they, as they should, because they've given that sacrifice.
Like the Steelers, the offensive linemen.
Correct. And so I understand that. And I'm going to put my hand over my heart. I know the national anthem. But to call them, you know, the people who kneel are not Americans. They're the worst people ever. Well, then I would like to go, okay, if we're going to really respect the U.S. flag code here, it says that you cannot have anything in the stars and stripes on clothing. So I want to turn around and be like, okay, so what's in your wardrobe? Please tell me. Yeah. Oh, the NFL. Okay, you lay the flag out horizontally all across, and it's not affixed and free. Okay, that's against the U.S. flag code. You have all these things where it's like, oh, if you're going to throw a stone, no one can throw a stone here because no one's been following the law.
Yeah.
And so it's just, you look at the stats. NFL players did not go on the field to participate in the national anthem until 2009 because the department, I keep saying the Department of Justice, the military paid them to go out there to encourage more people as a whole to recruit from the military. Right. It's all a show of patriotism. I know baseball's been doing it forever, and you can look at the stats on like what the NHL has done or the NBA. They used to sit in the locker room and wait until that was done to come out on the field. And so I don't want to say it's all a sham, because it's not a sham, but your true loyalty means a lot more when you take your own stance on it and you show it the way you do.
Yeah.
NASCAR said that they were going to fire anybody that kneels, which I'm like, that's not helping. And Dale Jr. had a tweet that was like, you know, you need to respect anybody that has an opinion and wants to show that. Fine. And I know I'm kind of steamrolling this, and that's okay, because we can talk about this. But the way that I see it is there's obviously been some lack of attention towards minorities and how they've been treated in the justice system, and how our current president, however you view him, has a very interesting view on immigrants, is it's well documented. So I see why they're taking that knee. But if you're going to take that knee, then I need you to not only keep that stance, but then I need you to kind of get active in the community. I need you to, in your off season, not hang out in your multi-million-dollar homes, but get in the community, get in the justice system, do what you can to make a difference instead of trying to hog all the attention and just kneel.
Right.
I'm okay with kneeling. Whatever that means to you, they're not racist. They don't hate America, in my opinion. But if you're going to take that stance, you better back your words up, buddy.
Yeah.
Because right now, it's easy to stand and put your hand over your heart because, well, that's what everybody's done. But if you're going to step out, make a difference.
Right.
Don't just say it. Don't walk the walk. Talk the talk. Do something about it. Any last words, John, on that? On the bend the knee?
I think, you know, since ever since Colin Kaepernick did it, you know, it's fizzled out since he was released from the 49ers, and there's a good reason why he was. It's because, you know,
everybody wants to say that it was because of the knee, but it wasn't.
Well, I mean, you know, regardless of either, I mean, it's negative attention.
Right.
And
it wasn't like the 49ers were already doing okay.
Right. They were a pretty poor team as it was. And like you said, you know, everyone puts their hand over their heart and stands. But because everyone's done it like that, it's because it shows respect for the flag and, you know, for the sacrifice. And the reason why they're kneeling is because that's how everyone else does it. So in a sense, when you stand and put your hand over your heart and, you know, whatever, it's a sign of respect. So in the minds of other people that have opposing views, when you kneel, then it's like it's a sign of disrespect.
Okay.
But, you know, I don't view it as that way. I mean, I'd rather you stand because, you know, it shows respect for the sacrifices people have paid. It's country, our flag, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I don't disagree. I disagree with it, but I don't think you're right to do that should be violated. And I certainly don't think, you know, the president of the free world shouldn't call you an SOB either. Yeah. You know, that was...
Show me your birth certificate.
Right. I think that was a little off color and, you know, really unnecessary altogether. And, you know, a lot of other teams had different ways of doing it. Like, some people didn't even go onto the field,
right?
Like Seattle and Pittsburgh.
Right.
And the one defensive lineman that did served three tours in Afghanistan, and he was the only player that stood outside. And, right. stayed on the field. And then he was quoted saying, quote, "Everyone thinks the Steelers are not behind me." And that's absolutely wrong. I made my teammates look bad, and that is my fault and my fault only. His name was Alejandro Villanueva.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
And, you know, it was kind of, you know, like, why would you go back on your words? You stood out there with your hand over your heart for a reason, and it's because you served, you know, I mean, regardless of your opinions or whatever.
Right.
But, you know, not to get too deep into it, but, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, it's a free country. You're allowed to do whatever you want. You're, like I said, if you want to stand out, you should have to back it up.
Right.
You know, politics and sports, in my opinion, don't mix very well. It is a good platform to, you know, say what you believe in and, you know.
Right.
I mean, you know plenty of players that do stuff on the outside, like, you know, NBA cares, mm-hmm. NFL cares, mm-hmm. 60 Minutes, all that mm-hmm. stuff. So, you know, I mean, doesn't make a ton of sense to me. It does get pretty political, and that's the whole aim of it, to gain attention and, you know, to make a story out of it. You know, there's different.
It also doesn't help that certain players in the NFL, and I'm sure this goes across the other leagues too, but there's been a lot of rampant, like, domestic abuse.
Yeah, sexual assault.
And, yeah, in alcoholism that is heavy.
Right.
In some of these players and groups of players and teams, and it's like
drug abuse, you know, performance enhancement.
Okay, I mean, yeah. So it's like, it's just a hard balance, because how do you look up? It's, yeah, these players are put on a pedestal that
right.
people worship.
Paid millions of dollars.
And I get you can take a stance, and that's fine, but your personal life matters.
Yeah.
Your personal life matters. Whether you were like, well, I didn't choose to, you know, have my life on a microscope. Well, then you shouldn't have played football.
Yeah. It's your choice to play. You signed up for it.
And it just kind of bugs me sometimes, because we're all up in arms about this whole flag thing, when I'm like, oh, can we talk about the domestic abuse? Can we talk about the alcoholism? Can we do this?
Yeah.
Because these are other issues, too, that need to be addressed that affect certain groups more than others.
Mm-hmm.
And it's we just need to get better as a society at paying attention to the problem and finding solutions instead of complaining about it, yeah. and letting it pass away.
Mm-hmm.
It just kind of annoys me.
Yep. Totally agree with that.
Okay. Well, so we move on to a couple teams in the NFL. We've got the Bills, who
beat the Broncos. Man.
There was 13-13 at halftime, and then turnovers kill, man. Turnovers are hard to deal with. And the Bills were at their house, and they capitalized on it.
Yep.
And there's nothing else you can do more than that.
Mm-hmm.
Capitalize on the other team's mistakes. It's kind of how you win games.
Right.
The Bills are 2-1, though. I did not see that to their start of the season.
Yeah.
2-1. Good for them. They beat the Broncos.
Kudos.
Let's move on to the Broncos. My Broncos, they're also 2-1. Their first loss of the season came to the Bills on the road. Trevor Siemian is not as perfect as we all thought he was, leading the NFL in week two with touchdowns.
Next Elway.
He's just got to get better on the road.
Yeah.
He's got to get better on the road.
Got to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. The teammates
have given him the reins to run their offense.
Mm-hmm.
Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders talk high praise about him, which is great, and we have the no-fly zone, which is awesome. Siemian toast crunch, though. Dude.
Get it together, man.
Get your crap together. We have a rushing. We have two. We have Jamaal Charles and CJ Anderson, who can carry this team as well. Stop. Just get in a groove. That's all I got to say.
Right.
It's tough to do.
Moving on to Dallas. Struggling a little bit, just 2-1. I mean, you have the whole fiasco with Ezekiel Elliott. That's another story for another time.
Right.
Their last loss was to
Denver. So they got walloped.
So hopefully, I mean, I'm not a huge fan of Dallas, but, you know, I'm a fan of talent. And Dak Prescott, Dez Bryant, and company have a lot of things going for them.
This is true.
Speaking of talent, the Eagles, Carson Wentz, man.
He cracks me up. I like his personality.
I like him too.
He offered his paycheck to the kicker if he, you know, made the field goal that won the game, the 61-yarder.
Yeah. That's an incredible.
One, that kick did not look like it was going in. And you look at the slow motion, and it was like 1 foot away from, like, one, hitting the bottom of the post and, like, 2 inches away from hitting the side.
Right.
So it's just funny that he said that, and then he made the kick.
Yeah.
But then also on giving out paychecks, it's been a big story today and yesterday.
Deshaun Watson.
Deshaun Watson.
What a guy.
Again, you can – I just can't get enough of this dude. Good guy, Deshaun, man.
We'll get that.
That trending. Is so cool.
We'll get that trending.
I love his personality. He's a good kid.
Eagles are a new force, not a new force, a strong force coming out of the NFC, 2-1. Speaking of strong forces, New England, Tom Brady, AFC Player of the Week, 2 times in a row.
Wow.
Yeah. 2-1. First loss to Kansas City. They're hot, man.
Kansas City's a good team.
They're very hot.
But yeah,
Kareem Hunt, man.
Ooh, money. The Titans also are playing better than most people expected.
My boy, Marcus.
Marcus Mariota. I'm a fan of him as well.
He's cool.
Titans are 2-1. 2-1 to start the season. And finally, Nashville has a team they can root for.
Right.
For football.
Predators.
Predators.
Moving on to the NFC, Seahawks. Man, a little disappointing early on.
Seahawks.
1-2, losing to the Packers. Russell Wilson, and we've had problems with Doug Baldwin because he's had problems with his hip,
right?
Obviously, but we have a lot of offensive talent.
Mm-hmm.
Defense is pretty good as well. We just need to get the kinks out, and we'll be ship shape.
Okay, the Steelers are also 2-1, and they suffered an embarrassing loss to the Bears. There's a team that plays well at home in Chicago. It's the Blackhawks.
That play tonight, too.
That play tonight.
Against Green Bay.
The Bears, that game was crazy.
Especially running all the way down to the end.
Oh, my God. Finish the play.
Yeah.
If
you haven't seen it, see it.
Yeah. It's just that stuff drives me crazy. The same thing with, like, James Harden. Finish the play. Finish the play. You saw that you were at the 20-yard line, and you started to pull up and slow down.
Gets the ball stripped out of him.
Goodness gracious, man. All right, man. This is any more of an epitome of the Bears, just the Bears in general.
Yeah.
1-2, they beat the Steelers on a fluke.
Man.
Just, it was a fluke.
Reminds me of Detroit and Atlanta, but, you know.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Although people could say that, hey, the Bears almost could have had 2 wins.
Stafford, yeah.
2-1.
Honorable mention, Jaguars. Man, they are the dark horse of the season. Got LeGarrette Blount, and you have Blake Bortles is really connecting with LSU. What's his name? I know his name now.
Shepherd Smith?
No.
Shepherd Smith's not with him.
Leonard Fournette.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Smacked the Ravens in London, 44-7.
Woo!
Man, 2-1, good start.
That is a good
start. And now on to our personal favorite.
The Browns!
0-3.
0-3. Did anybody not see this coming?
No. I don't think anyone else did.
The Browns, what a joke.
But yeah, those are your current scores for most of the teams. Got to wrap up things here. Moving on. To the NCAA.
Huge also scandal. Some hot stories. Rick Pitino, famed coach for Louisville, is out as the coach and solidifies his legacy there.
You were right up there with John Wooden, John Calipari. Had to blow it. We have this cool soundbite from Irm Edwards, former NFL coach and player.
Which I'm a big fan of.
Yeah.
He's always has level-headed takes. I appreciate his input.
He's a
good personality.
Smart man. Here we go. We'll play this.
Moves of where the line is supposed to be, and you start fudging the line, it keeps moving. And before you know it, the line is so far removed, there's no line anymore. There's kind of like this gray area. And all of a sudden, you're like, well, I'm just turning. I didn't know. When the head coach says, I didn't know, I'm like,
No, no, no. That's your job to know. Your name's on this program. The assistant coaches, they come and go. Your name is on the program. That becomes your legacy. And you got to know. And when a coach crosses the line, you got to say, no, 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 no. We don't do that here. Because eventually.
Oh, preach.
Preach, man.
Preach it, Herm.
Woo.
You can't. The boggles. This boggles my mind when a head coach says, oh, wait, you know, we weren't aware of that. Or
yeah.
It was, you know, we didn't really know. And it's like, you moron.
You knew.
You and the AD.
Right.
You should have.
So there's some bad blood down there in Kentucky. Which is reminiscent shades of SMU.
Yes.
Death penalty.
So, the reason why I bring this up is because I, you know, ESPN 30 for 30s do a great job with films. And SMU received the death penalty for their sports program for football in 1985 because of inappropriate use of funds to recruit players. And they were warned multiple times over the years, had a couple of probations that were similar to USC's, and then they did it again, and then they shut down their football program for a year, and then they extended it for another year.
Mm-hmm.
And so it comes back to
basic integrity, really.
I know teams like
Penn State with the sexual assault scandals with what's his name?
Joe Paterno.
Joe Paterno, and then
Mr. Sandusky,
who
should rot in jail.
The sexual assaults with Baylor. I mean,
you have destroyed the face of your college.
Right.
Your sports programs are one extension of it.
That doesn't go away.
A big extension that go on TV.
Right.
And so for this kind of stuff to happen, I know the SMU it took them 25 years to recover.
Right.
But they learned their lesson.
Yeah. It tarnishes the face of the program, the player's integrity, the coaching staff, you know.
USC took a while, and those were some extreme sanctions.
It's bad for
Reggie Bush
too.
Is not invited back to USC. Those national championships were vacated.
Mm-hmm.
Their wins are vacated, so that 30 game win streak is not a part of the history books.
No, nope.
Those are ways to kind of tarnish it, but that football program still did okay.
Right.
And so I think in the case of, I'm glad the FBI is coming out and taking care of business here.
Yeah.
But I think the NCAA needs to go above and beyond and go, you know what?
You need to go out of their way to prove programs are.
What's the point of having these rules if you, we're going to sanction your wins and we're just not going to put you in the record books.
That's a slap on the wrist, you know.
You ask any USC fan from that era of football and they'll go, knowing that we know now, under Pete Carroll, oh, heck yeah, we'd go through that all over again.
Right.
You know what people at SMU say? I wish we never. That wasn't worth the fanhood.
No.
And I think, and here's what I think. You take Baylor, who still has issues, and you take that program and you put either extreme sanctions or you put the death penalty on that football program.
Right.
And not only football program, but they need to shut it down.
Right. You either got to learn one way or the other.
We're a Christian university. You know, we got things under wrap. Yeah, right.
Right.
It's atrocious.
Tell that to the judge.
Penn State had sanctions. It wasn't enough.
And
that was awful.
Look at it now. You got Saquon Barkley, number one Heisman pick. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
You don't do anything about it. Things are going to continue to happen. And they're going to have all this pride that's going to cloud their vision, you know. And
the penalty didn't fit the crime.
Right.
And it should have. So the NCAA, again, now has an opportunity to show their not in any way am I not trying to compare this to Roger Goodell. Because Goodell, that's a whole different situation.
Yeah, that's a whole other podcast.
The NFL
hands
out penalties. But I think the NCAA should. If the FBI got involved, I really think you should probably consider some academic,
right?
Some serious suspensions,
right?
Even the death penalty to a program for a year.
Absolutely. Moving on to our neck of the woods, RVC
Rock Valley
men's and ladies soccer. Men are a their current record is 6-3-1. They're on a one game losing streak, and they play College of DuPage on the 29th, which are 10-1.
You know, that's going to be the men's soccer team of Hubbard. Even last year, they were good, and this soccer team is good.
Their winning record.
They're doing okay. It's College of DuPage is. They're 10-1, and that's going to be a tough game because they've not faced them before.
Yeah.
What I am excited for is the ladies.
Mm.
Those are Golden Eagle ladies. They are good. They're 6-2-2. They're on a one-game winning streak. They play the College of DuPage, the women's team, and they're 6-5-1. In the last game they played, Rock Valley tied them 0-0.
Okay.
But the Lady Eagles, they look good this year. I did a story about it a week ago of their average goals per game, and it was like 3.56 or something. They're really good.
That's pretty good for an average, yeah.
And the team that they beat, I believe, was Madison Community College, and they were like the best team in the division with a five-goal game average.
Wow.
And they beat them. Wow. I was proud of them.
Moving on to volleyball, 11-12. They didn't do so hot at the Parkland College Classic invite. They were 1-3, and they were set to face Joliet Community College, which is 8-9. And RVC beat them earlier in this season, so looking more confident into going into this game, especially.
Yeah.
I
mean, it's cool that, the ladies. I mean, they've done okay.
Mm.
It'll be fun to see how their season plays out,
because
I know in volleyball. More than other sports, once you get it's a team, it's a team game. Those girls are close together. They're a tight-knit group. And if they can kind of figure out some of their communication issues, which I believe that's what the just kind of being on the same page on a couple of plays, I feel like they could really streak together a couple of good wins like they did at the beginning of the season
right. And
take care of business.
Awesome.
So, but they're struggling a little bit, but I think they're going to come around. And I think lastly, to close out our first podcast being back here, John, is just talking about the future of journalism real briefly. This would probably be more of a story written for the Valley Forge, if anything, but
TVF.com.
RBC Valley Forge. Fox Sports 1, or not just Fox Sports 1, but Fox Sports followed the lead of ESPN by cutting considerably 75% of their writing content in lieu of video and more of an AV format, because podcasting is the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
We love podcasts. We do podcasts.
Absolutely.
I listen to podcasts. And understanding their direction of going, well, people probably want to see more stuff than they want to read more stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Their web hits from, I believe it was March to June, was 126 million hits. Or no, April to June was 126 million hits on their website. When they moved over to cutting all the writer stuff and moved over to more video and different kind of content, they thought it was going to be a big win. But the advertisers are starting to pull out, just like with ESPN. Because they realized that in the stretch since June to or late June to August, they've only got 26 million hits, which is still like, whoa, 26 million.
That's considerably worse.
That's 100 million people that don't read your articles anymore.
Right.
Which, I know they used to have Ken Rosenthal, who is like the famed MLB writer, which now writes for The Athletic and a couple of different places. Now on, and I'm just like, we're at a crossroads here in journalism, and
moving more to the computer instead of the paper.
But you got to go back and now realize, what are people actually going to look at?
Right.
You would think they'd want to look at videos, but is writing still has a place here? Probably not in the newspaper anymore, but online.
Yeah. It's the way to go, man.
I think this is kind of showing, even in the social media age of things, maybe video isn't always everything.
Yeah.
Maybe in like on Twitter, where you clip a video with it to see what happened.
Yeah, because the thing is, with a video, you have to watch the whole length of the video to get what's in it.
Yeah.
Reading, you can read as fast as you want or certain segments. And I know you can skip ahead.
And you don't
ahead.
Have to worry about audio or
right, you can skip ahead
sounds.
In videos, but, I mean, you're not going to get the full picture like you do in articles, and that's really the main advantage over that.
But 100 million hit difference, and I can't imagine what ESPN's is after
right.
their tumultuous season that they just went through.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting to see how this plays out. And I just kind of wanted to put that on your radar, listeners here. And I know you're listening because I know you hear this. But as we put out more written content and whatnot, it'll just be interesting just how this world is going. And
future of journalism,
you know,
man.
We're along for the ride here as people who create content. But it's interesting to see some of the big names struggle with this as well.
Yeah. Real-world problems, man.
Real-world.
Well, I think that's going to do it for us. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening.
Our podcast probably won't be as long as this one, but this is our first time back, and we're just excited. A
lot of news to cover, so.
That's true. We missed a lot.
Yeah.
But anyways, have a great day. Drive safe. And as always, bye, Mom!